This is Will's Band of the Week for September 29th, 2019. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett live in studio.
Hey.
And a special surprise. Craig live in studio!
Here I am.
Hear how pure that sounds?
Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to talking at a Mac laptop 3,000 miles away.
Right.
I now have a real microphone in my hand here in the studio.
It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting.
It's the second time you've made a personal appearance in the studio.
Yeah. I don't see David here.
Nope.
David has not been here.
I don't see Jeremiah here.
Jeremiah has not been here either.
I don't see Nicholas here.
Nope.
Nope.
And I don't see Chris here.
Nope.
No.
Also,
Chris is not here.
Anurag is also not here.
Anurag is not here.
Yeah. But Craig is
here. Craig made an effort. For a lot of these people you mentioned, it would be quite an effort to get here. But let's be honest. What's Chris's excuse?
That's a good question.
I don't know. There are three chairs. That maybe is it. Like, you'd have to stand up. Maybe you didn't want to do that.
Yeah. So here we are. Pretty cool. So Craig's been hanging out with us in Madison for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the highlights so far? I understand the batting cages were this morning's highlight.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Once you've seen the batting cages, that's it, really. Nothing else can surpass that.
So how many swings did we each take? We got like 15, maybe a total of like 18 tokens because they had to keep giving us free ones when the thing jammed.
Maybe. Oh, I thought they were giving you free ones because you like hit a line drive, you know, that was so impressive that you got an extra
thing. No, they didn't do it that way. They might have taken some away though when I broke that bat. That was the coolest thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
I broke a bat. was it an aluminum bat?
No. Unfortunately, impressive. I think it was a plastic bat. But
you broke it over your head.
I broke it over my head. I showed Craig that Bo Jackson breaking the bat over his helmet. You've seen that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was against the Brewers, I just learned.
Huh.
You know, you don't always see the lead up to it. Huh. But it was fun. Like, we started off. There are three speeds. The slow pitch is 45 miles an hour. Medium is 60, and then it goes up to 75. We started on the slow and did about half and half slow. And right away, Craig was able to make contact, and I was swinging through everything.
I think you're being a little generous. Well, making contact as in fouling off the ball. That's what I was doing.
Right.
But I wasn't going to strike out. I'd have been there all day just fouling the ball.
Yeah.
That's true. Good. Staying alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, we moved up to the medium, so 60 miles an hour. And it wasn't that, I mean, that's 33% faster, but it's not, I don't know. I didn't find that any really that much more difficult.
It was fine. The hardest thing is not to swing too early. That's what I was finding at all the speeds.
Right. That's where I broke my bat.
Hmm.
So like when the bat is going through the hitting zone, I mean, it is a blur. I think Craig can attest to that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You know, there's that thing like, oh, he had a broken bat single. This was more like a broken bat homer that I hit.
The sound was impressive, but now I realize the sound was just the bat breaking.
Yeah. Speaking of breaking things, Craig almost broke his foot.
Did you foul one off
off onto my left foot. Yeah.
Oh, ouch.
Twice.
The first time it really hurt. The second time it didn't really hurt. So I think the nerve endings, I just gone to sleep or something.
Yeah. And then with the final token, Craig stepped into the slow pitch softball.
Oh. And those young ladies. Well, the machine is pretending to be a young female softball player. They really loop the ball up. And I was flaying that ball.
Yeah.
Oh, I was at all parts.
But he, because he went from the 60 mile an hour baseball to the big softball that's just looping in there.
Yeah.
It's just about a third of the way there, and Craig's already kind of starting to uncoil his body. And he's like, wait a minute, I've got some time to think about this. It was pretty funny. But, yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
Did I mention about the broken bat? Did I bring that up already?
You may have done.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure it was the power of the swing pretty much that caused the broken bat. It didn't have anything to do with anything else, right?
There were a couple of factors. One factor would be the bat was cracked maybe and made of plastic, but the powerful swing was a somewhat of a factor.
Could have been because when you swung and missed on the previous pitch, you slammed the bat down to the ground in frustration and therefore weakened,
that's
you said,
true.
Cracked it maybe. Yeah, that could be it. Well, okay. There's the batting cage update. What else do we have?
Will's batting cage update of the week.
Right. We haven't seen any live shows since Craig's been in town.
Right.
So we're kind of, we've just been kind of roaming around town, right?
I'm going to surprise you guys now. Now's the time to announce that. I've bought three tickets for the show this evening. Toto.
Wow.
So we're going to go to a brew pub after this.
That is a miracle. I can't believe it.
I guess you're so pleased to hear about this generous gift.
We're both looking at Craig like, Craig is kidding, right?
Yeah. Toto. Where they are playing here.
Yeah, they're at the Orpheum.
At the Orpheum, okay.
Yeah.
I hope it's indoors because it's raining a lot out there.
Yeah,
it is raining a lot. It's
kind of, we're trying to make you feel welcome with the UK-style weather. Mm. Drizzle.
Yesterday, though, was sunny, and we went for a really long bike ride.
Yeah, bike ride. A couple of beer stops.
Mm-hmm.
There were actually three, right? There was the outdoors beer stop. There was the indoor flight of 14 beers.
Yeah.
We had five of us for those 14 beers, so it wasn't as excessive as it sounds.
We were drinking responsibly. I think it's important to make that clear.
Yeah, we were.
Right.
And then working draft brewing ended up there.
Right. Yeah, that was great. Then came back here.
Oh, and we watched the crushing Brewers loss.
Watched the Brewers get beat, in the 10th.
That was a bad performance by them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Although that catch of the home run ball was pretty cool.
That catch and the one before it, too.
Lorenzo Cain.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the diving.
That was after,
wasn't it? Kind of a rolling
it?
Diving catch.
Was that
I think
before?
The rolling catch was first. Hmm. It was.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a good one. But one over the wall was.
He stole a home run.
Yeah, he did.
But then he also gave up a run when.
A base running error.
He just started sort of almost jogging over to third base when the pitcher still had the ball. And so he was out there. And he got out at the plate, too, on a play where the other team cheated. That should have been called safe.
Well,
you can't do what he did.
A lot of controversy. There was some drama, though. So at least we got drama out of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we could talk about some music, unless you guys want to cover anything else first.
What about the witches?
What about those witches?
Oh, yeah. The Ipswich witches.
Speedway update.
All right, yeah.
Well, I'm here, and I haven't got my tenders to the ground, but just Facebook update. As we were driving over here, I just noticed a fantastic evening at Foxhall Stadium in Ipswich. I thought, what's going on? How much detail do I go into? Ipswich Witches have made it to the final. After the regular league season, the top four teams play off against each other, the playoffs. One plays four, two plays three. Ipswich were fourth. The home fans' hopes were pretty low. We're terrible, we're the fourth best, so we're going to get beaten. We've got to play the first best. Well, they've done it. They lost away, lost on the road, came back 3 days later to Foxhall Stadium. And then a superb performance by all accounts yesterday.
Wow. Yeah.
So they're in the final match now.
Yeah. And I don't know who they're going to ride against yet. That must still, the other semi-final has to happen. But yeah, they could win the Premier League, the Witches.
So that's like the World Series of motorcycle racing or of speedway racing.
Yeah.
Or just speedway.
You know what would be cool? If you should go to one of these matches and do a live report, like record some audio on your phone. That would be cool, right?
I'll try and do that.
Yeah. Live speedway report.
We also could use a jingle for it, maybe.
For the speedway update?
Yeah, just like 15 seconds of that Black MIDI song.
Yeah, the bit where he says speedway.
Yeah. Right. That'd be appropriate.
Things have to be appropriate, otherwise they're unacceptable.
Yeah, cool. Very good. So let's see. Sports update.
Yeah, what else?
We'll be back again next week with another edition.
Right. Seems like we're forgetting something.
I think we are. But no, we'll just remember it whenever we remember it, right? Remember back, God, it was at least, was it 10 years ago when the Vivian Girls had a couple albums and they were kind of indie rock darlings? Remember that?
I do.
Do you remember that, Craig?
I remember that. They were, to say one of my favorite bands is an exaggeration, but a band I certainly liked a lot.
And then they had offshoot bands like La Sera, right?
Right.
Babies or something?
Oh, was that... That was one of the Vivian Girls members, and then that guy... What's that guy's name? Wasn't that guy that did that, who just did the album that was like a... Almost like a religious album. He did like this... God.
Oh, are you talking about the guy from Woods?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Morby.
Yeah. Now, wasn't it, I think that band like, Babies was Kevin Morby and one of the Vivian
Girls. Like Katie Goodman?
Remember? You sound like you know what you're talking about, so yeah, I think you might be right.
Yeah, totally.
Katie he Goodman, right. Maybe? And she's, yep, because I always thought she was cool because her nickname is Kickball Katie, right?
Right. Like,
if you have that nickname, that's just cool.
Totally.
Yeah. Right? So, you know, there are probably other offshoot bands that we're forgetting about because we didn't do proper music journalism.
Hey, can I give myself a nickname? Is that something you can do?
Kickball Barrett?
No, Broken Bat Barrett.
This is certainly alliterative.
That could be, yeah, in the band bio, that would look pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, why is he called Broken Bat Barrett?
Yeah.
Just whatever you do, don't ask him, okay?
Or he'll break the bat over your head.
So Vivian Girls decided to put out another album, and it's pretty good. It's rock and roll. So, yeah, it's called Memory, so we're going to listen to some of it. Specifically, number 3 called Sick. Vivian Girls.
I haven't listened to the old ones in a long time, but that one sounds more, I don't know, it's kind of more of a like a big guitar drone going on than the old ones. Am I wrong about that?
Craig, well, can answer that better than I can.
I haven't listened to them in a while, but I just remember that I really liked them. And I kind of think of them as a punk band, really. Not aggressive, you know, but the Ramones are punk, and that's some of the best pop music ever. And I just think Vivian... goes kind of abrasive punk, but this sounds just very listenable, warm, yeah. Constant blur of noise is how I interpret that track.
Yeah, and they put the vocals purposely just into the murky mix. They're purposely not putting the vocals really out front, which I think is kind of a fun fun thing to do. So, all right. So I don't think you guys picked tracks. I'm kind of playing DJ. Is that what we're doing? I'm
the DJ. That's good.
Yeah, that works well for me.
All right. Number 10, Mistake.
Harmony is used enough in music, in the kind of music that we listen to. I don't know if that's because it's difficult to do or because people just don't want that sound in their songs. But
good question.
I've never heard somebody doing harmony where I'm like, this isn't a good place for this. I wish it was just one person singing ever.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's a good point. I think also an underrated thing is just to have more than one person singing at the same time, even if it's not harmony. Like, two people singing the same thing at the same time is very effective.
Yeah.
Okay? Young people out there, they're probably listening, right?
Yeah.
They'll probably take this advice, both Barrett's and mine.
Right.
Yeah.
And here's my advice. It's better also if it's two, like, a male voice and a female voice together. That's, harmony's good. Two people singing together is good, as Barrett and Will have said. And what's also good is if it's a man and a woman. So make sure you have...
Agreed.
Have you ever heard a song where there's a man and a woman, you know, and the male sings a line and then the woman sings a line and they like trade off? It's always great, right?
Yep.
It's like it's a tried and true method that's great.
Right.
Wow. People at home, they are just gonna be
add some reverb to that whole thing that Craig just described and you've got it.
Yeah.
How many bands can we name in 1 minute? Which have songs? It's a real test for us. We have not rehearsed this.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Comet Gain, for sure.
Right, I thought of Comet Gain.
And all those Australian, all the Australian jangle bands. We're going to have to think of some. Dick Diver?
Yes.
Pretty sure.
I think they do.
Goonsax?
Yep. The Strappies, I don't know if they do it in the same song, but they have male and female vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're missing a whole bunch of them probably.
I just rattled off a bunch, but I bet Will's going to cut that part
out. Yeah, I took it out because it was
made me look too cool.
Right.
Yeah.
It was unbalanced. You were way above our level of music journalism.
You've already got the broken bat thing.
Yeah.
We can't have you being too much cooler than us.
Here's a hypothetical. What if the Cars had a woman singer? Or like, what if they like had a woman sing a couple lines? Maybe that would be really cool, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
I was just thinking about that since we just went.
Because we made it sound like you could plug that idea that Craig outlined into any situation almost.
Yeah.
So if you did that with the Cars.
Yeah. They might have been even cooler.
Yeah. And if not, then We'd have to fine-tune our theory a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we'd be more limited than we are making it sound.
Yeah.
No fine-tuning required. The theory is robust.
Okay.
All right. Vivian Girls. Let's play one more. Now, I was thinking, you know what? I'm just going to... it's an audible in my own head. When there's a song called Sludge, then you kind of... I just feel like we should play it. So that's what I'm going to do. It's number... Well, it's number 7, too. We like to play number 7.
Compares to the other ones, it's sludgier.
Right, yeah, it is.
good name for it.
They were going for a little more abrasive sound on that one.
Yeah. Observations, big production on the album based upon those three samples, big sound.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't call this is no longer a lo-fi bedroom band from Brooklyn. Perhaps they weren't ever a bedroom band, but I think you know what I mean. It's huge. The sound is huge.
Yeah, it is. It's huge, but it's still kind of messy. Like on purpose with a lot of reverb and yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it.
There's a you remember when we did the special about guitar solos? And I think Chris came up with a whole bunch of them. You know, true music journalist Chris. But I remember one of the guitar solos that I mentioned was the Lemonheads have a song called The Great Big No, and it has a one note solo. It's just one note, just plays one note. So on this album, there is a song that has a one-note guitar solo. I'm going to try to find it. I think it's the song Something to Do. So I'm going to try to forward up to the one-note guitar solo.
Yeah, you found it right away. That's also pretty impressive.
Very cool.
So just think how fun that would be. All you have to do is stand up there, have your guitar running through a, you know, pretty impressive set of pedals or whatever, and you just play the one note. You kind of just stand there looking cool, and right. It's great. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good artistic choice, you know, for them. It works, I think. So... there you go, Vivian Girls. They're not. I don't think we can call them aging rockers. They're way too young for that. But they're indie rock veterans.
Yeah.
Returning rockers.
Yeah. And I think they're based in San Francisco, aren't they? Aren't they Bay Area?
Yeah.
Or there's a Brooklyn connection too.
They were in New York, but I think they've people go to New York to become cool to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then the weather's here is kind of shitty. I'm cool enough now that I can just go to LA and people know who I am. And so yeah. It's like, that's the other commute that people do, is from New York to California.
Yeah. But yeah, check them out, Vivian Girls. All right. We've also in the past talked about Lower Dens, right? Remember Lower Dens?
I do. A little.
From Baltimore, I believe. So they must be personal friends of Snail Mail, right?
Snail Mail, and isn't that where Beach House is from, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And at times on previous records, Lower Dens have sounded a bit like Beach House. I don't think it's anything deliberate or that's the sound of Baltimore or anything. It just happened to be that way. At times, they sounded a bit like that. So that was an interesting...
The sound of young Baltimore.
So Lower Dens have... They've always seemed kind of unpredictable to me. I've listened to a couple of their albums in the past, and I think the first one that I listened to was pretty much guitar-based, and then the next one was kind of keyboard and guitar kind of in combination, and maybe this is probably going to be proven to be completely wrong, but the new album is totally like a synth-pop thing, but it's still got kind of an edge to it, and it's still pretty interesting. And so I deemed it podcast worthy. We'll see if you guys think all right. So. So the first track I'm going to play, which I think is the catchiest track on the album, and I'm not playing it because of the title or the lyrics, but that's interesting too. Young Republicans. Dens.
Yeah, I'm probably way off here, but does that sound to you guys like a synthy Arcade Fire a little bit?
Oh, maybe a little, but that makes me think maybe you don't like it.
No, I don't know. I mean, something can sound like something that I don't like, and I still like it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah, I think musically, if there weren't the lyrics, then musically it just sounds like, I don't know, something from the north of England in the 80s.
Right.
But then so that music is good on its own. I was thinking, oh, I like this because I like the band anyway and it sounds good. And then there's the lyrics are kind of, I feel like we could talk about those lyrics the rest of the day. So it's kind of interesting too. So when you put those two things together, it's quite an interesting mix.
Yeah, I think so. The, this album I had on my list of things to listen to and just put it on while I was working, and it took like 4 or 5 times before it really started to click with me. But now I'm pretty much totally on board with it. So it just took me a little while to kind of, you know, some albums are that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grow or whatever. So let's go back to number three, Two-Faced Love. Lower Dens.
That one sounded kind of Peach House-y.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if it's just a terrible crutch that I always reach for this, but it sounds like OMD to me, which is good. Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, maybe any electro synth-led indie music sounds a bit like that.
Yeah, maybe that's why I like it. A longtime fan of OMD. The production is pretty good on this. It's kind of a big sound, you know, I think. And pretty good, pretty consistent. So, should we play another one?
That's good.
Yeah.
Let's go toward the end of the album. There are 11 songs. Let's play number 10, Lucky People.
Memory and violence are haunting me. Days and nights of thoughtlessness are killing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I do too.
Very good.
Guys, his voice, he uses a little bit of vibrato, which is unusual.
Yeah.
You don't hear that much in the music that we listen to.
Right, right. It's all good. I think it has a lot of layers to it. And like Craig was saying, if you dive into the lyrics a bit, they're pretty interesting. And one thing I like to do, rather than like read all the reviews, which of course is fun, but read what they say about their own album on their Bandcamp page, right?
Yeah.
So this is what they say. The fourth album from Lower Dens, The Competition, is a pop album with a concept both emotionally and politically urgent, dealing with modern capitalism and its psychotic effects. Its 11 songs range in scope from the personal to the political, but overall express an epiphany. You need radical and unquestioning compassion for yourself if you're to reimagine what society could be. It's kind of a deep statement, right?
Yeah. So you need radical what?
Compassion for yourself.
Radical compassion for myself.
I think people have rather too much interest in themselves already. Maybe they should have compassion for others.
Right, yeah. Good point. Yeah, but I think maybe if a person is coming from a place of, you know, feeling like an outsider, then they need to, like, maybe get their own house in order first. Maybe that's the point.
Yeah, maybe I'm not sure. By having radical compassion in yourself, only then are you able to truly be empathetic.
Yeah. All respect begins with self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, I'm sure that, like, if you really, and I didn't totally dive into the lyrics, but, you know, you get little bits and pieces here and there, and it's, yeah, it's thought-provoking, I'd say.
Let's hope no animals have been harmed in the recording of this podcast.
Right, yeah. We've been able to say that all along until possibly right now.
Until right now.
Yeah.
It's a bit of feline friction.
Yeah. That didn't sound like playing to me. But,
well, just like humans, some animals are jerks.
Right.
That's a quote from The Simpsons as well.
Yeah, all weekend, Craig has been quoting The Simpsons and even more so Seinfeld. It's been about half and half.
Yeah.
I don't always get the references. Sometimes they just sound like funny things that Craig says.
There you go. If it's funny and I'm saying it, it's probably not something I've made up myself. having recorded here in the studio, I can't go back to the public courses now.
See, he just did it again, but this
time I can't go back, and I won't. I fear this is going to be deleted. This segment, the world will never get to hear.
That can be maybe if the
genius
band cut. Yeah, that can be the kind of the bonus content.
The outtakes,
the blooper reel.
Well, I'm back now. I have no idea what you guys said.
Yeah, we didn't say anything. We didn't even talk about you. We just talked about Simpsons, Seinfeld,
all the good things.
Yeah,
I noticed something in that a song that Will played there, a little reference to Chris Isaak, Wicked Game. Did you guys pick up on that?
I did not pick up on that.
I never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like me.
Oh,
but of course, in Wicked Game, it's I never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you.
Yeah,
but that ties into the self-respect thing and the compassion, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think we're really onto something.
Did you make a Chris Isaak reference before?
Yeah. I have a very small pool of references that I keep drawing on.
What was the other one?
That's pretty good.
The other one is Ram Jam. Oh, you mean the other reference?
Yeah.
Sorry, I think I was talking about the other pool of things I draw from.
Yeah.
Black Betty, Ram Jam.
Right. We'll be right back.
But so earlier this weekend, he made a Chris Isaac reference.
Earlier on the podcast, I think, a previous episode, yeah. Oh, in the context of Veronica Falls, maybe, at some point. Oh, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Because they did a cover version of Wicked Game.
Okay, maybe that was it. Well,
the last two Brewer games are kind of wicked games.
They're extremely wicked. Yeah.
Wicked game you play to make me feel this way, the Brewers.
Yeah, totally. Playing wicked games with our emotions and things. So
I just checked the score, but they haven't started playing yet. So
that means the score is still 0-0?
Yeah.
Okay.
It means they're starting from scratch with a clean slate.
Clean slate.
They have not yet lost. Well, that's all the regular programming I have.
Do you want to talk about that band from Hull a bit, Life?
Sure.
I know enough to make a pick.
Well, then let's find it.
Bit of Britpop.
We have now located the album. The band is Life, and the album is called A Picture of Good Health. Craig's going to tell us about it.
Here I am. I'm on the spot now.
Mm-hmm.
I know enough to say this is a band from Hull. This is not their first album. I think it could be the second one. As I was listening to it, I don't like to paint a band into a corner, but just to give a bit of background, I think this is a band in the tradition of the kind of angular Britpop, something like the Futureheads, Maximo Park. I think that's fair. Franz Ferdinand a little, you know, the kind of wave of bands that emerged British indie music scene after the Strokes had kind of got things going in 2001. Then a bunch of bands came out 2002, 3, 4 and 5. We're some years on from that. And here come Life, perhaps bringing a bit of resurgence to that sound again. We can listen to one or two songs. Good pop music, I think. Should I make a pick?
Yes, you should.
Well, I'm going to say number two. This song is a good length. Number two, Moral Fibre. Did not play the whole song, did you?
No, I think there was maybe a half second of the fade out that didn't play.
I don't think they'd sue us anyway. They seem like good people.
I hope they wouldn't sue us. That'd be mean.
Yeah.
So they named their band Life. Like, why would you name your band Life?
Yeah. Google proof.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I think your description is accurate. Maybe a little more energy and power than some of those bands that you compared them to.
Yeah.
At least that track.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
And I had to look up to see where Hull was.
Yeah. Of course, I already knew. But
you did.
Should we tell the listeners who don't know?
Sure.
It's on the northeast coast of England. If you go, start at London and go up, 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 staying on the east side of the country, about 250 miles up, maybe 300. No, less than 300, 250. It's a cool place. I saw Protomartyr there, actually. In a really good club called the New Adelphi in Hull. Hello to all the listeners in Hull.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I think of Hull, I just think of the House Martins.
Yeah. London 0, Hull 4.
Right.
What a fantastic name for a record.
Impressive. Impressive reference there. Yeah, let's play another track.
Track 7, Half Pint Fatherhood.
half pint fatherhood.
Yeah.
Any impressions, Barrett?
I kept thinking of trying to think of things that it sounded like, and all the things that ran through my brain didn't pass the filter that said, "Don't say that. That's a dumb thing. That's wrong." So,
I wish I had a filter like that. Definitely on Friday evening at the Tigre here in Madison, that filter was not an operation for me.
I don't remember you saying anything like that, but
it's just when you wake up in the morning after a night of drinking and you think, I am never drinking that much again. And when I do things like that, I say stupid stuff and I don't like that person. And then we went to the brew pub.
I'm going to give Craig a pat on the back.
Then we went to the brew pub and ordered the $28 14 flights.
Yeah.
Flight of 14 beers.
Yeah.
The thing about Friday, though, any dumb thing that any of us had said, when you get to that point, it's almost like you stop listening to what other people say and you're just like thinking of things to say on your own. So everybody's kind of having, they're like, three or four people there and three or four different conversations. So
everyone's just thinking of the next thing they're going to say.
Parallel, right. They're all running parallel. It sounds like a conversation, but put into a transcript, somebody'd say, wait, are these paragraphs all mixed up or what's going on? These people aren't responding to the stuff that their friends are saying. So that's why you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, I missed the Tigre final segment that you guys had. So
not the worst decision somebody ever made.
It was best that I went home and slept, I think.
Yeah.
So
we were smart enough to go park the car, because at that point we were still fine, and then walked up there and walked back.
How far is that walk from your house?
Like 15 minutes.
Huh. Yeah, certainly not far.
Huh.
David Lynch was not there.
He was not there.
Barrett says David Lynch spent some time in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Has he been to Le Tigre?
That's what Craig asked. And
it's Twin Peaks-esque, don't you think?
It sure is.
I have maybe been in there one time.
Really?
And I can't remember for sure. It's one of those things where, is it just that I've seen photos, you know, like of you guys there? You know, I've been in that area. There's that hardware store that's right next to it.
Yeah, Dorn's is right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then you've got the Santa Maria Grocery, which is great.
There's that standalone building that used to be a Chinese restaurant, right?
That's been vacant for 20 years.
Yeah, it's been vacant for a long time. We should do something with that.
Maybe Indie Coffee?
Indie Coffee, a new
second location?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, we were talking about when the stock offering is going to be for Indie Coffee. It hasn't been determined yet.
I can set up a little little Venmo thing or PayPal thing where listeners could send in some money and they'd be early investors and kind of get in before the IPO. So if it gets really big there,
I just
can't even imagine how rich they might be.
Right.
Nobody's required to do it, but I think you'd be foolish to not do it.
This is the investment opportunity of a lifetime. You wouldn't want to pass this up.
Right.
It's like insider trading, only it's legal, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we've announced it publicly on this podcast.
Right.
This is publicly available information.
Yes.
You can always go back to this podcast to demonstrate that you did disclose it to everybody. So it was equal opportunity.
Yeah.
Right?
So Craig works in financial publishing. Is there any other disclaimer that I need to make right now to avoid future problems?
Nope.
No. Okay. There you go.
Full compliance.
I'm not a lawyer.
Like
if I say that people are guaranteed to get to at least quadruple their money in the first year, is that...
Well, that would be a problem.
Is that problematic?
If it wasn't guaranteed. But in this case, it's a fact. So right. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Because that is true.
Well, we haven't quite made it to an hour, but we don't really need to, right?
That's not a requirement.
No.
You know, maybe later at one of the brew pubs, we'll remember some of the stuff that we forgot to say.
Once
we get kind of...
And then if we do, we'll record a little voice memo.
Yeah.
And we'll splice it in. So there could be bonus content.
Right.
Yeah. That would probably be another... We might have to make people pay for that, though. Maybe. Like us talking at a bar would be so entertaining, the recording would be so good that we probably need to charge money.
Probably.
Because we're up over $0 already on this one, right? So...
Yeah.
I don't know. Got to be careful if it gets too valuable. Right?
Now what's going on out there? Maybe some vacuuming or...
There's something going on. It's always exciting around here.
Someone who's not us is working.
Right.
Out there in the world.
Yeah. We're not working at all. This is not work, right? That's what we gotta make that clear too, that we are a non-profit. That's why, like, when we hand a business card to Black Belt Eagle Scout, we need to make the point that we are not making a profit. We're just nice guys,
right?
Interested in music. This is no reason to be offended, right?
Right.
Underneath Madison, Wisconsin, on the business card, you need to put the name of the Native American land that the city is on.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is the land formerly occupied by the Ho-Chunk Nation. That's where we record the podcast.
There we go. That's good to put that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, after we use up the current business cards, it'll be like 8 years from now. Then we'll
Well, yeah, if like one of us drops all of them somewhere, we might be sooner than that, but...
Yeah.
Didn't
maybe go through a parking lot and put them under the windshields.
Yeah, we could do that.
Windshield wipers.
In Austin, on Red River Street, where those food trucks are, yeah. There was a Will's Band podcast.
Yeah,
business card just discarded.
Right.
Not even in the trash.
It was just discarded on the sidewalk, and it was like we had only given out like two or three.
Right.
So it's a one-third rejection rate.
That's one way to look at it. Another way, some people saw it that didn't mean to see it, and they just looked on the ground.
Yeah, they just saw it as they were walking by.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably thought, wow, it's a business card. That's got to be a real thing.
Right.
I should look into that. That's a good audience, too. All the people that went to the, you know, South by Southwest. Wait, did we tell people that we went there yet?
I don't think we've mentioned it. We probably need to spend a little more time on that.
We should do like a post, like a wrap-up special or something. And
yeah.
If we'd only remembered to record some stuff while we were there.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's pretty much a mystery. No one knows we were there.
Have we adequately covered the Life album, or do you want to play one more, Craig?
Let's play one more.
All right.
Let's just do track one, because it's got to be a mission statement for the record. If track one's not good, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, the pressure's on them right now. Number one, Good Health. Life.
Parental advisory.
Yeah.
Explicit lyrics.
Right.
Right. And we didn't give the warning, so we might get kicked off the internet now. But hopefully
Well, if
not.
We haven't gotten kicked off for the the selection you made on the, what was that, dry cleaning.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. If we're not kicked off for that.
That's about as taboo as it gets.
Yeah. It's probably true.
And we're still
we
on
are.
The air.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're immune. We can do anything we want.
I'm still actually kind of surprised that after 10 years, and what did we figure? We've got about 500 episodes, so we probably talked about like 1,000 albums, right? And we've played three songs. We've played like 3,000 songs. Never one single time has any artist asked us to take something down. Like, not one single time. You know, you'd think that there'd be somebody, you know, with a manager who's trying to be a hard ass, you know, and just is like, we insist you take down our material, you know.
Mm.
I would just think that that would happen, like, sometime.
Right.
So, the bottom line is, we're doing a good thing by playing people's music. We're promoting their music, right?
Right.
Yeah. So.
Somebody might say, though, sometime, like, I don't want anybody associating me with these nerds.
Nerds, yes. Yeah. Like, exactly.
Remember the NBC broadcaster,
it.
Brian Williams?
Uh-huh. Oh,
when
yeah.
When he said that, who was that band?
Didn't he love that band that was kind of like an alt-country type band?
Yeah. We have to remember what that is.
Yeah. I'm thinking of them. So did they say, well, it's uncool
they,
that
no,
he
they
likes
didn't.
Us?
They didn't, but the... I really think it did not help him at all. Deer Tick.
That's it. Yep.
He went on and on. He used to have a podcast for a short time, and that was one of the things that he talked about. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it helped him out at all. So maybe somebody would have a similar thing with us. Like, you know, who's this Barrett guy talking about my album?
Who's this Broken Bat Barrett?
Right.
He sounds so tough. I wouldn't like to cross
him. Yeah. There. You break a bat on me. Over my back.
Yeah.
But no, I'd hit somebody when they're facing me. If I was going to hit somebody with a bat.
Yeah. You can't come up behind someone and smash them on the back with a bat.
No, that's, you got to give them a chance.
Yeah. Front on only.
All right. We'll be revisiting the whole broken bat thing, I'm sure. Yeah.
Because it really is a fantastic.
I guess the rest of us.
Why didn't I put it? I put it back on the counter and I when I was done, I finished it off, which was dispiritingly easy to do. Just like, just broke like a, easier than a pencil. I should have asked if I could take it home with me.
Yeah.
Frame it.
We could put it up in fourth bedroom studios here.
Yeah.
We don't have that. We don't have anything cool in here right now like we did before, like that ripped up sheet of paper.
Yeah. I wouldn't say there's nothing cool in here, though.
Well, yeah, there's some other cool
stuff.
I like
this picture up here.
Oh, yeah, the one
Greg,
of me.
If you look on the bottom, that looks like Grant.
Here?
But that, you look just like Grant right there.
Yeah, well, that's me when I was about
that's Will.
18. Yeah.
How did you jump that high?
I know.
I don't know. It's pretty spectacular, isn't it?
And it's, I mean, this, Will is an old man, so you know that this is before Photoshop. <That's> it looks like he was Photoshopped into the sky, but he jumped up there.
Yeah.
That was something funny that happened the other evening. We were walking downtown Madison, and two women, probably a similar age to me, but younger than you guys. And Chris was with us. And these two women said, oh, hey, guys.
Are you from Madison?
Yeah, are you from Madison? And I didn't say anything because I'm not. I just stood to the side, way out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Barrett said, yeah, I'm from Madison. They were just looking for somewhere to drink. And they said, where are the bars? And Barrett said, oh, you go down here. Well, we knew where we were going. Where we were going was down to the traffic lights, turn right, 100 yards along.
Right.
What did Barrett say? Chris was upset. Barrett says, go down here, take a left, and onto State Street.
Right.
That's where all the bars are. And Chris says, you specifically gave them directions to where we are not going.
Yeah. It's like, why did you direct them away?
But to look at those two, you knew that they didn't want to hang out where we were. They'd be like, there's nobody here.
Yeah.
And everything is expensive.
Yeah, exactly. You did 100% the right thing.
I think it was Will, though, that came up with the idea to give him the proper credit.
Ah, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. But, that was kind of funny.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically just like, oh, you want to go somewhere cool?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Don't go where we're going.
Maybe, maybe that backfired. Maybe they're like, wherever they say, let's not go there.
That could be. Yeah.
But now we saw him walk over that way.
Yeah.
So
I hope they had an enjoyable evening on State Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we did, right? We had a good evening.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. All good. All right. Greater than $0. Over an hour.
Over an hour.
Unless, after I chop out all the parts where Barrett embarrassed us with his superiority, I might chop some of those out. Then it might.
That's true. That was like 15 minutes where I was just rattling off bands.
Lots of wise things you were saying.
Yeah. Okay, Craig. Thanks for coming over. In we kind of thought when we sent the jet to pick you up that you'd probably get on it. You know, right. But we still appreciate the fact that you did.
Absolutely.
So sometimes we got to fly the correspondents in here just to have, like you were talking about, in your work, how face-to-face contact is valued.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why we fly people into the studio on occasion.
Right.
Thanks for stocking the jet with 2 craft beers from each state of the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have
100 cans of craft beer on that jet.
And
that's like an 8-hour flight.
Yeah. The Wisconsin beers obviously were the best, but after that, what states impressed you the most?
Oh, well, since I'm making this up.
Yeah.
You were drinking like 10 beers per hour. Wait.
How am I supposed to remember? Oh, I'm going to say Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you were to just like off the cuff, like try to rank the states for like microbreweries, to be honest, I'm not objective. I think Wisconsin is good. But, what about Michigan? What about Colorado? New York has a lot of them. I think Massachusetts does. Ohio. Can you think of any other states? I mean, they're
Connecticut
everywhere.
Connecticut has loads.
Do they?
I have a friend who lives there in Connecticut.
Oh.
And you think, oh, it's a tiny state. There's no breweries there. They produce a printed leaflet with all of the breweries. They're going in rows across and down. Say there's, 4 across, 6 down, 24 per page, 3 pages. And you go and get a stamp or a tick from each microbrewery you've visited. There's tons.
I never would have guessed
that. That's one of the smallest states in the union. So
Craig knows more about Connecticut beer than we do.
There you go. Helps I have a friend there, so I visited with him. And thanks a lot for having me back.
Okay. Listeners, send in your rankings of every state in the United States. After that, you can go to other countries to rank the microbreweries, right? Yeah.
Start with the states, though.
Yeah.
We didn't mention California, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to everybody again next week. We have exciting, I have got, at least preliminary schedules for the next 2 weeks. So this is kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't though really everything going to be kind of a letdown once Craig's gone?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And just return to our drab lives.
Yeah.
We spent like 9 months in anticipation, and then he comes and it's great, and then he leaves.
And then
it sounds
like
I'm being facetious.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating, but we've been looking forward to it for a long time. It's been really nice to have you here.
Thanks very much.
It's been great.
Yeah, we had to
hospitality is amazing here.
We actually had to strong arm him to get him to come here because he had some other options. So
he was gonna. He came here instead of going to St. Louis.
Oh, I'd have watched St. Louis get beaten up by those damn Cubs.
Yeah, we did
you
a favor.
I made the right decision.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.